Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 18, Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf Incarnation. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Yat
tat
vapu
bhati
vibhushana
ayudhai
avyakta
chit
vyaktam
adharayat
hari
babhuva
tena
eva
sa
Vamana
Vatu
Sambhashyato
Divyagati
Yata
Nata
Yattad
Vapur Vati
Vibhushanad
Yuvair Avyakta Chid Vyaktam Adharayad Dhari
Avyakta Chid Vyaktam Adharayad Dhari
Babhuvate Naiva Vavamano Vatu
Babhuvate Naiva Savamano Vatu
Sampashyator Divyagatir Yatanata
Sampashyator Divyagatir Yatanata
Yat Which, tat, that, vapu, transcendental body, bhati, manifests, vibhushana, with regular ornaments, ayudhai, and with weapons, avyakta, unmanifested. Chit vyaktam, spiritually manifested. Adharayat, assumed. Hari, the Lord. Babhuva, immediately became. Tena, with that. Eva, certainly. Saha, he, the Lord. Vamana, dwarf. Vatu, a Brahmana Brahmachari. Sampashyata, Sampashyato. While both his father and mother were seeing. Divyagati, whose movements are wonderful. Yata, as Nata, a theatrical actor. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord appeared in His original form, with ornaments and weapons in His hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, He nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmin dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Purport. The word nata is significant. An actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, is described in the Brahma Samhita 5:33 and 5:39. The Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms: Advaita Machyutta Manadim Ananta Rupam Ajam Purana Purusham. He is always present with innumerable incarnations: Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavatara Mokarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu. Nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person, the same potency, the same eternity, the same spiritual existence, but he can simultaneously assume various forms. When Vamanadeva appeared from the womb of his mother, he appeared in the form of Narayan with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed himself into a brahmachari, vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent. He has to learn more about the Lord's position. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, janma karma chame divyam evyam evam yo veti tatvatah. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Satchitananda Vigraha. Om Agyanatim Anandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. So today is the most glorious, wonderful day when an incarnation of Krishna appeared in this world just like an actor playing on the stage. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he has many different costumes that he puts on for his varieties of enjoyable leelas. Sometimes he puts on the costume of Vamana, sometimes the costume of Nisringadev. He puts on all these different costumes, just like an actor who can play so many different roles. Krishna actually can play an unlimited number of roles. And to make his drama, his dramatic pastimes of playing different roles more enjoyable, he has so many other persons that he engages with him in these leelas, in these pastimes. Just like in a drama, there'll be so many characters, so many cast of, maybe there'll be one star and there'll be a big cast of characters. So Krishna, he has his cast of characters who participate with him in these transcendental pastimes. And actually, every single living entity within the total existence is part of Krishna's pastime. But we have the free choice, of course, to love Krishna or to leave Krishna. That is our choice. A little early, everyone try to wake up, see a lot of closing eyes, dozing off. So, we are not meant to be separate from Krishna. We are meant to be with Krishna in the spiritual world. That is our actual home. Right now, in this material existence, we are in an unnatural position to be identified with gross matter, which is temporary, full of ignorance, and full of misery. It is basically insanity. Our actual position is right now, sorry to say, we're insane. By the grace of the great acharyas, or the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're getting now this opportunity to become sane. So we can actually realize, I'm eternal, I'm full of knowledge, I'm full of bliss, I'm not this temporary, ignorant, miserable body. So such days as this, when Vamana appeared in this world, are great opportunities for us to increase what is known as Leela Smaranam. Smaranam is one of the nine activities of bhakti. There's Nava Vidha Bhakti, nine different types of bhakti: hearing, chanting, remembering. See? So these days are a very nice day to remember the wonderful pastimes of Lord Vamanadeva, how he came to take the three steps of land and this way trick Bali Maharaj into giving everything. Because Bali Maharaj is a very interesting person in this regard. He's one of the 12 great Mahajans. He's considered one of the 12 great authorities in transcendental life. And how did he come to that position? He rejected his guru. Normally, you don't reject your spiritual master. Normally, you have to obey your spiritual master and follow him faithfully. But if the guru is bad, if the guru goes bad, as did Shukracharya, by telling him, don't worship Vishnu, then it's your duty to disobey your spiritual master. And in this way, Bali Maharaj became one of the 12 great Mahajans by doing something which is normally considered very irreligious. But as we studied last night in the Bhagavad Gita, that all the different rules and regulations of the Vedas are, when you actually come to the point of surrender to Krishna, then that actually transcends all the different detailed rules and regulations. So even though it appeared that Bali Maharaj did something irreligious, actually he became the greatest devotee of the Lord, one of the 12 great Mahajans, by giving his, by siding with Vamana instead of his spiritual master, so-called spiritual master, Shukracharya. So the spiritual master tells you not to worship Krishna, just to worship him, then you immediately know to reject such a bogus spiritual master. The bona fide spiritual master always connects the disciple with Krishna, always connects the disciple with the previous acharyas. He doesn't take any credit or want to take any worship for himself, actually. Everything is passed on to the previous acharyas. The spiritual master's position, actually, is he feels himself unfit for being worshipped, unfit for being honored as the spiritual master. Prabhupada showed this pastime. You may remember in Los Angeles, you may have heard. Mukundlal Prabhu was there. He told me. And Vishnu Jamaraj had also told me many years ago the same thing. That when Prabhupada was first given a Vyasasam, a big royal, there were some small seats for Prabhupada. But the first time they made a big, grand, royal Vyasasam in Los Angeles and offered it to Prabhupada, he started crying. He said, I am not fit to sit on that seat. He said, but I will do so on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. So his mood was actually, he was not fit for taking the position of spiritual master. That was his feeling, his humility. So the spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master, doesn't feel that he's actually fit to receive that worship and that honor. He simply feels that he's a humble servant, the previous acharyas, and he's obliged to do so for the sake of the disciples on behalf of the previous acharyas. That's all. If we have a spiritual master such as Shukracharya, who's thinking that I'm getting this disciple, a very wealthy disciple, Bali Maharaj is giving so much Guru Dakshina, and if he surrenders to Vamana Hari, how will I get my Guru Dakshina? There'll be no Guru Dakshina left. Vamana will take everything. I have no Guru Dakshina. You see? So he's thinking of his own sense gratification. My Guru Dakshina. You see? But actually, everything is the property of Krishna. A bona fide spiritual master never thinks that anything is his own property. He simply thinks everything is the property of Krishna and must be utilized in his service. So this is a very wonderful pastime. Is how Vamana shows the difference between a bona fide spiritual master and a bogus spiritual master, and how the disciple has to act with intelligence and not be a blind follower. Sometimes in our society we see that some spiritual masters prove themselves to be in the Shukracharya Sampradaya, and some foolish disciples followed them instead of following Vamana, you see. So we have to actually always remember this pastime of Bali Maharaj and Lord Vamanadeva, that the disciple is not meant to be a blind follower, a fool, who will be misled by a Shukracharya sort of character. The disciple is meant to be a person who actually understands the scripture, who's well-bred, he knows the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And he has discrimination to know this is a bona fide spiritual master and this is a bogus. He can tell the difference. He acts with intelligence. He doesn't act blindly. Prabhupada explains that blind following is condemned, as we discussed last night. See, one has to actually see things very clearly. One has to have wisdom. Prabhupada explains that this Srimad Bhagavatam is also called the Paramahamsa Samhita, which means the treatise for the, Prabhupada defines it as the treatise for the intelligent class of men. Paramahamsa, Prabhupada described as the intelligent class, the actual intelligent class of men. So we are meant to be intelligent. We are meant to be thoughtful. We are meant to have discrimination. Many people will challenge us that you simply are blindly following this religion. But I tell them also, I heard Tamal Krishnamurti say the same thing. And I've been preaching like that too, that we are lovers of truth, actually. That is our real position. So I tell them, if they claim that I'm a blind follower of this cult, I tell them, I'm a lover of truth. If you can show me something better than Krishna consciousness, I'll become your disciple. I'm not blindly accepting some dogma. I'm taking this because I can see that this is the highest wisdom anywhere in the universe. That's why I'm doing this. If you can show me something higher, then all right, take me, I'm yours. I'll become your disciple. If you show me something higher, I'll become your disciple. You see? So I've been making that offer for, you know, many, many decades, but no one's been able to show me something better. One time someone said, well, everything's an illusion. I was preaching in a college campus in Florida, and someone came up and said, everything's an illusion. That was their philosophy. Of course, you could have challenged them, well, if everything's an illusion, your philosophy is also an illusion. So what's the good of it that it's an illusion? I could have challenged them like that, but I was thinking, if everything's an illusion, if I accept that as true, that everything's an illusion, then that means Krishna consciousness is an illusion also. But I was thinking, but it's the best illusion. Of all the illusions I could choose from, this is the best one. So even if everything's an illusion, still I'm properly situated in Krishna consciousness. So in this way, one should have thoughtfulness to be able to analyze, you know, all the different arguments that can be made to defeat, you know, the legitimacy of what we're doing. We should be able to defend our position against all attacks of the, you know, the word jugglers, the philosophical wranglers. We should be able to defeat all these opposing arguments and understand fully well the supremacy of Krishna consciousness. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Prajakshavagamam Dharmam, Shushukam, Katamabhiyam. You see, this is king of knowledge. You can study all the wisdom in the universe. You will see this is Raja, this is king. There's no knowledge like this. Absolutely no knowledge anywhere like this. This is the perfection of science, you see. I get through this emailing thing that I do, I have so many people who challenge me that this is not scientific, that one person even went so far as to say that the rice, actually the scorpion does come from the rice. You know the old thing, does the scorpion come from the rice? Does he come from the scorpion eggs that were laid in the rice? So this person keeps trying to tell me that life is arising from matter. Because everywhere we see there's matter, we see all this matter out there, and we also see life. So the logical conclusion is that life is coming from matter. So there's all kinds of foolish people out there who are trying to defeat Krishna consciousness philosophy with these stupid, illogical arguments. And we should be able to dismantle those arguments and establish the supremacy of Krishna consciousness. This is one of the signs Prabhupada explains of someone who's advanced in Krishna consciousness. They can defeat all opposing arguments. Prabhupada wanted us to become very strong in this way, to know the philosophy like a lawyer knows his law books. Not only the scriptural argument, but also logical argument, to be very expert in logical argument. Because nowadays, who will accept scripture? Who accepts the authority of scripture? Maybe a few people in India. But who actually accepts the authority of scripture, especially in the Western world, in Finland? You say, well, it says so in the Bhagavad Gita. They say, oh, all right, it says so in the Bhagavad Gita. How many people agree? Because it says, because Krishna says. I say, who's Krishna? Some mythological character. Why should I listen to some mythological character? You see? So we have to be able to establish, on the basis of logic, the absolute position of this philosophy. That's how we will... If for no other reason, just for our own conviction. As was asked the other day, you know, how does one preach with conviction? You were asking them. So we have to be totally convinced, as we many times have explained. Prabhupada told us in L.A., he said that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking maybe. You're thinking maybe. So we still have our own doubts, our own skepticism. So that's why, you know, being philosophically solidly situated is essential for each and every one of us, so that all of our own doubts are eradicated. And then when we tell someone that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it will have potency. As Prabhupada wrote me in that one letter, he said, it's not what you say, but how you say it. I was asking Prabhupada about book distribution. He was giving me some tips on how to distribute books. Who could be the better Sankirtan trainer than Prabhupada himself? And he gave me some tips about book distribution. And he said, it's not so much what you say, but how you say it. You see? So to have that strong philosophical, you know, conviction is not a waste of time. That, well, you know, we have to keep distributing the books. The point is, it's lazy intelligence. The more you are strongly fixed, the more you'll have potency, and the more you can spread Krishna consciousness. So to actually take time in the morning hours to carefully consider and see this philosophy from many, many, many different angles of vision and be able to defeat all opposing arguments, that will actually empower the preachers to be more successful in every possible way in making devotees, in training people how to distribute books, in all ways, you see. The more we have this philosophical conviction, the more this movement will be very, very powerful. The more the temple here will be strong and attractive, and more people come, this place will just be too small. You'll have to get a property and build a huge temple like in Moscow. You see, we should be thinking like that. We want to outgrow this. This is a wonderful temple, but how can we outgrow it? You see, we're forced to get a huge, big temple. See, that's how we should be thinking. You may say, well, it's just a dream. I mean, why should we even dream? Let's be realistic. But no, Prabhupada said, if you're going hunting, you should shoot for the rhino. Even if you're not successful, people would say, well, it was a rhino, you can't really shoot a rhino anyway. So no one would criticize, but if you actually get the rhino, oh, that'd be so much appreciated and glorified. So we should always be thinking in a very big way of how to push forward this movement. Because even if we're not successful, well, no one will think badly. And if we are successful, oh, it'll be so amazing. Actually, Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam, this is another one of those really, really wonderful quotes. I mean, they're all wonderful, but this one really jumps out of the page. Prabhupada says that a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to Godhead. So my question is, are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings or not? Are we supposed to be Krishna conscious beings? Yes, obviously. So actually, we're supposed to be thinking not only about my own, you know, my own personal situation. We're supposed to be thinking about the welfare of all living beings. That's how we're supposed to be thinking on a regular daily basis. The welfare of all living entities. How can I live my life in such a way? How can I think, speak, and act in such a way 24 hours a day that can do, does the greatest good for all living entities throughout the entire universe? That's how we should be thinking. How can I play my part in the best possible way to be a tool in the hands of Guru and Krishna? You see, that's what we should be thinking. How I can be the best possible instrument so I can be utilized in the best possible way for pushing forward this movement. Each and every one of us should be thinking like that in a Sankirtan move of how I can be a suitable tool to be used in the hands of Guru and Krishna for pushing forward this movement. And then Prabhupada continues. The Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to save the suffering humanity, and says, even if he is not successful, his perfection is guaranteed. His perfection is guaranteed, you see. And anyone who follows him will also achieve perfection. So, if we're always thinking of the welfare of all living beings, how I can live my life in such a way that all living entities can be benefited by Krishna consciousness. Even if nobody takes any interest, then I'm going to go back to Godhead so I don't lose. Because I was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. I was doing what Prabhupada wanted me to do. You see, I was always thinking of the welfare of all living beings. At least I'm going to go back. And if I can convince 2 or 3 people, you know, 5 or 10 people, one person along the way to also do the same thing, well, they get the greatest benefit. Do you realize that if every person in this movement made one devotee, that we would conquer the world very quickly? Do you understand how that's true? In other words, if I make a devotee, and then he makes a devotee, and then he makes a devotee, and he makes it, just keeps going. If every devotee can make one devotee, one solid, dedicated devotee who can make other devotees, that's all we have to do to completely inundate this entire planet with Krishna bhakti. Just every devotee can make one good devotee who can make other devotees. That's all we have to do. If each and every devotee can make one other devotee who can make one other devotee, that's all it takes for this movement to completely capture the whole planet. Another one of those amazing quotes from Prabhupada in Bombay, he told us, he said, the world is being managed by rogues and demons. He says, now you make your life successful and you take the management. Prabhupada wanted us to actually take the leadership role on this planet, that everybody would follow us on this entire planet. Can you imagine? That's what Prabhupada wants. That when the parliament meets here, they ask Tathavadbhuta come to guide them how to run this country. You see, please guide us. We want to make Finland a Krishna conscious country, and you are the ISKCON leader here, Tathavadbhuta. So you kindly guide us on how to manage the city of Helsinki and Lapland and everywhere, you know, the whole country, so that this entire country, all these people in Finland will go back to Mumbai and Kali. You see, that's the goal of our preaching. We want to reach the point where so many people have gotten the books, they've gotten the holy names, they've gotten prasadam, they've had nice contact with the devotees, that now they're demanding Krishna conscious leaders in this country. When they go to the election place, they want to know who is Hare Krishna and who isn't. Is this a Hare Krishna candidate? Vote for him automatically. You see? And if it's not Hare Krishna, forget it. We want to get these jerks out of office. You see, these non-Hare Krishna people. We want people who are Krishna conscious to run this country. You see, that should be the goal of our preaching, to turn the tide of the times away from the Kali Yuga and bring this entire human society back to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, where they actually belong, because everyone is actually the eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone. Every single living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. Isn't that our philosophy? Jivera Sarupahoya Krishnara Nityadas. Every single living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. So anyway, Mataji and I were very, very blessed that by your kind mercy upon us, that you, in spite of our innumerable offenses and so many bad qualities, demoniac attitudes, behaviors, you've allowed us to be here in your presence so we can get your Sangha and the mercy of your Sangha to purify our hearts and enliven us. Honestly speaking, this is one of the most enlivening places for us to come. Your temple president here, Tathavadprabhu, is very, very dedicated to engaging you all very, very nicely in a wonderful way, in a very pure and wonderful way to serve Prabhupada's mission. So you're very blessed by his leadership here. And it creates a wonderful, wonderful attitude and spirit amongst the devotees, a wonderful family feeling here. And it's always it's a favorite spot on the preaching circuit. Our circuit, it's always a wonderful spot for us to come and get just unlimited nectar, unlimited juice, carry us on throughout our activities that we're doing elsewhere. So we want to thank you all very much for your kindness, your loving mercy upon us, and we just pray that we'll be empowered to properly reciprocate with you for your sweet nectarian benevolence. Is there any questions? Yeah.
Thank you for the upliftment. You mentioned the point of Sukacharya, the example. Mm-hmm. Should I say so? Mentioned that what should be the right attitude of the disciple towards their spiritual master, because which gives like the healthy progress, because the history in general just shows, you know, that it starts with the glorification of the spiritual master, but it can also, you know, end the situation where it's like an own separate group of, you know, just their spiritual master and not much more. So in order to avoid that kind of, you know, unhealthy situation, what could be like the, what should be like the, some guidelines?
We have, as instituted in our society, we have a daily worship for Srila Prabhupada, who is the guru. In other words, within our society, we have so many gurus, and, you know, those are wonderful relationships which nourish the disciples. But at the same time, if we are to function as a worldwide society, which we have to if we're going to be successful in inundating the world with Krishna consciousness, then we can't just split off, you know, have the Sankarshan Adhikari group over here and Veer Krishna group over here, and we don't really talk to each other, we just have our own little picnics or whatever. You know, then the movement is destroyed. That means the personality of Kali came in and he chopped the movement apart into this little sect and that little sect. That means Kali was successful. He got into ISKCON and, you know, chopped it into 80 little, there's about 80 gurus and 80 different movements. He destroyed ISKCON and broke it in. That's what happened to the Gaudiya Math. Same thing. So how, this is a question I asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj many years ago in Bhagavatam class. How do we keep ISKCON from becoming another Gaudiya Math? I asked him that question. He actually, he was angry at me for asking the question, but so he didn't answer it. That was very early during the Dzamalacharya days, when the gurus were, you know, It was pretty heavy. We had the deities had to wait for Mangalarti until the guru came. Even if the guru was late, the deities was really, we went too far in those days. Anyway, I asked him the question. He just got angry at me. But actually, it was a very good question. How do we keep ISKCON from becoming another Gaudiya Math, where you just split off into, you know, this Acharya's group and that Acharya's group? How do we keep it together as a unified family? Tight-knit, unified family. Because in Chaitanya Leela, you had so many gurus, so many disciples, but it was one tight-knit family. I guarantee you, when they had that first Gaupurnima festival in, what was that town? In Bangladesh, what's now Bangladesh, Vishnupriya and Narottam Das, that famous, the first Gaupurnima, there was one tight-knit family, even though there were so many gurus, so many different gurus, so many different disciples, it was one Chaitanya family. You see? So in the same way, how we keep this ISKCON as one Prabhupada family, you see? Well, this is why we have, first of all, Prabhupada created GBC. By everybody putting themselves, voluntarily submitting themselves to the authority of the GBC, which is Prabhupada's manifestation on this planet, by all agreeing to submit ourselves to the authority of the GBC, that automatically keeps us together. And then then we have Prabhupada's books, which are the standard. You read Prabhupada's books and you hear what your guru says, and you decide whether your guru is bona fide or bogus by reading what's in Prabhupada's books. If your guru is connecting you with Srila Prabhupada and you're going, wow, he's really realized what's in these books and he's helping me to get more and more connected with Srila Prabhupada, then you know that your spiritual master is bona fide. But if he's saying things opposite from the books, he's contradicting the books, saying, oh, don't read the books, they're not that important, just do what I say, then you know, hey, I got a Sukracharya here, I got to better watch out. Prabhupada actually says the spiritual master is not the center, the scripture is the center. Because unless the spiritual master is a living embodiment of the scripture, then he's not a spiritual master. There's the person Bhagavatam and the book Bhagavatam. Spiritual master is meant to be person Bhagavatam, who's simply a transparent representative of the scripture. And if he's not a person who embodies the Bhagavatam with his every thought, his every word, and his every deed, well, sorry. Shukracharya Sampradaya. Is it? So, you know, Prabhupada's books are the standard. Accepting the authority of the GBC, and then the GBC authority filters down to the local level, the temple president, you see. He's the representative, he's the local representative. And then the devotees in the local area, they should be working under the direction of the temple president. Prabhupada made a very nice statement near the end of his manifest Leela here. He said that the disciple should not, the householder, he was talking about householders, he said they should not be financially dependent, they should not be dependent on the temple, which means financially dependent, and they should not be independent of the temple, which means working separately from the temple. The householder is meant to be financially independent and actually maintaining the temple. That's the Vedic system. The brahmacharis, vanaprasas, and sannyasis, they're just engaged in, you know, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, 24 hours a day. But the householders, they're earning livelihood, they're running businesses, they're raising cows, they're doing agriculture, they're maintaining the brahmachari, vanaprasta, sannyasis. So the householder is not meant, oh, now I have my own money, I can do what I want. That's Maya, that's Kali. Kali's influence. The householder is meant to be acting under the direction of the local temple authority, temple president, yourself in this case. The householders here should all be working under your guidance. Should all be thinking how I can assist Tathagata Prabhu in making the Helsinki Center a grand success. They should all be thinking like that. Those that are thinking that way are properly situated. Those who are not thinking that way, are they have an improper understanding of Krishna consciousness movement as given by Prabhupada. Prabhupada trained me. He wrote me one letter from Paris. He said, do whatever the temple president says. He made it very clear. Temple president is the authority. Sometimes, one time, I was asked to Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, when you're not physically present, how will we know if you're pleased? You know what he said? He said, the temple president and GBC are there. See? If you're pleasing, you're just like sometimes my disciples, they write me, they say, Shri Gurudev, how can I serve you? I say, serve the devotees of the temple. Please the temple president. That's how you can serve me. You see. Make sure the temple president is satisfied with your service. Then you know that I'm pleased with your service. You see. That's how I advise my disciples. They write me, you know, how can I serve you? Serve the local devotees at your temple. You see. So the temple president and the GBC, they are actually representatives of the spiritual master, the representatives of Srila Prabhupada. And by serving them and pleasing them by our activities, then we know that our spiritual master is pleased, we know that Srila Prabhupada is pleased, and all the acharyas are pleased. So we are meant to be... Actually, I was counseling those householders last night. I said that you are working... Both of them are working in some corporate jobs. And that you are learning how to function in a very, you know, very completely surrendered way to a corporation. Otherwise, you can't keep your job. I say that same skill, that knowledge of how to operate within a tight organizational system, you can bring that same experience and ability to ISKCON. Because we need that in our society. You know, we have a tendency to be disorganized and not tighten it. Whereas in a corporation, you can't be that way. You'll get fired right away. You see, we don't fire people in ISKCON. We're very kind and merciful. But actually, everyone should voluntarily become very cooperative, just like in a corporation. Everyone should become very, very cooperative. Very, very tight-knit. How did the British rule India with such a small handful of men? It was a very, very small number of Britishers who actually went to India. But yet, by tight cooperation and good intelligence, they were able to rule all of India with a small handful of Britishers who were actually located on Indian soil. So this movement should be like that. Very tightly knit organization, running in a very tight-knit cooperative way where the love and trust is very strong between all the members. That we have to work for. So how do we do that? We have to be the ones to start it. We have to open our hearts up and try to develop loving and trusting relationships. We have to initiate. Well, I'll trust, you know, we should be the first one to initiate it. That's the point. Well, I'll do it if you'll do it. No, we should all start it, as Kumar said. We should open the door, offer the olive branch with everyone, and try to open up all the relationships. So I'm... Anything else? Yes?
By example, just came to my mind that in the opulences of absolute, both in Bhagavad Gita and also in 11th canto, it said that Shukra represents Krishna. I think it's among lots.
There's a verse, he's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita as one of the representations of Krishna.
In 11th canto, Krishna even says that he's called Shukra, the knower of spiritual science.
Huh. The shark is also mentioned as a representation of Krishna. So would you like to have a meeting with the shark today? See. So just because someone's mentioned the Bhagavad Gita as a representation of Krishna doesn't mean that they're necessarily a pure devotee. The shark is also mentioned, and he's not a pure devotee. He may like to eat a pure devotee. It happened in America. It's happening all the time. The surf people go out, you know, in the swimming, try to enjoy it. In Florida, you know, and some shark comes and bites their arm off, kind of ruins their day at the beach. So yeah, just because I don't remember the exact verse, but just because he's mentioned in, as a representation of Krishna doesn't mean that he's a pure devotee. Just means he has some opulence. He has some power, some shakti. The king is also mentioned as a representation of Krishna, a mundane king in this world. Anyone who has anything that shows some degree of opulence is considered a representation of Krishna. You see, among mountains I am the Himalayas, and you know, and among the seasons I am the flower bearing spring. You could expand that out, you know, you can say among rock and roll singers I am the Beatles. You know, it's a whole concept that anything that's great, that's top of the list. You know, among airlines, I am. Krishna is making a point that anything that's considered opulent in this world is my representation. That's what he's describing. That's the whole philosophical point that's going on in that portion of the Gita. Doesn't mean that you bow down at the shark and say, "Please accept me as your disciple." You say, "Yes, come on in." Anything else? Yes.
Prabhu, in Vedic times, people had maybe more faith for Vedas because they could see the subtle influence, like the mantras and the mystic colors.
Yes, yes, yes.
So are we going to see any of that, or is it
you cannot see? Color? You cannot see the influence of the mantra?
No.
I'm looking at it right now by seeing you. I see living, I have scientific evidence. You are a specimen of the proof of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare mantra's potency. You see, you are living evidence. You are an incredible piece of evidence that a person with your, I haven't seen the whole transition. Tathavada has seen. I'm sure he can testify the power of the Hare Krishna mantra on your life. He's seen the before and after. You also can remember what you were like before. Don't you feel the power of the Hare Krishna mantra, how it has transformed you? Yes. Yes. We have our evidence. We have thousands and thousands. Every one of us are evidence. Just think, each one of us can think where we were before we came to Krishna consciousness. Talk about evidence. That Christian ministry said, "Swamiji, how is it that all of your disciples are so bright-faced?" One minister, it was the same one, he said that, you know, they are all coming. Yes, he said they are all Christians and Jewish boys and girls, and now they have come to you, and they are so bright-faced. How is it? They was amazed, you see. So, anything else? Yes.
Prabhu, one day you told about this one school group who came and they were like quite this kind of empty-headed people.
Yeah, like dull. Like.
Yeah. So when we are preaching, so should we just accept that some people are like that, or should we somehow try to...
No. Devotee never gives up on anyone. A devotee doesn't ever write anyone off as a loss. A preacher is dedicated that everyone, somehow or other, I must give them Krishna consciousness. It must be, the preacher thinks, it must be my own impurities that somehow or other I cannot penetrate the thick shell of ahankar that's encasing their pure bhakti. Devotee thinks, it must be my own impurities. I have to chant my rounds better. I have to become a better devotee so that I, in the future, I can, such persons can actually be awakened. The devotee thinks it must be my fault. Of course, it may not really be, but still, a devotee feels that way. that I have to become more potent in a preacher, so that such persons who could have become a devotee if I had been more potent can actually become devotees. You see, the preacher always thinks, it must be my fault. I'm just not potent enough. You know, I'm still hovering on the mental platform too much. And thinking, I am the enjoyer. So yeah, devotee doesn't want to give up on anyone. He just thinks somehow they have to all be given Krishna consciousness. Isn't that Lord Chaitanya's mood? He wanted that everyone should get Krishna consciousness, not just some, you know, elite. He wanted that everyone should get it. So that is our mood of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, that even the Jagais and Madais, you see, you're Avadhuta Chandra. Lord Nityananda, he wanted the Jagai and Madai. They were the most unqualified rascals. They were rapists, murderers. They were mafia. They were the mafia, the head of the mafia in Navadvipa. They were the worst, most despicable. I mean, they had no qualms of raping any woman they wanted to. I mean, they were horrible people. But they got the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So we have to learn how to become representatives of that. We have to become very good dasas of that Avadhuta Chandra, that Nityananda, you see. You have a very good name for preaching, Avadhuta Chandra Das. So you have to think, how I can represent. See, Lord Nityananda, he is a moon. Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushi Tala. He has an effulgence like millions of moons. Koti Chandra, millions of moons. You see. So we have to become more and more surrendered to our acharyas, more and more surrendered unto them, so that that full potency of Lord Nityananda can more and more and more and more manifest through us when we are preaching, so that they can actually be blessed, that even the Jagais and the Madais will melt and humbly bow down and take shelter of Krishna consciousness movement. Anything else? So anyway, we will now stop here. And anyone who would, anyone wants to, I'm always available, anyone wants to speak with me individually as well. I'm just here to try to serve you all, and each and every one of you, I want to help you in your Krishna consciousness in any way I can, because that's good for my Krishna consciousness. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vamana Hari incarnation ki jai. Oh, we have some prasadam? Okay.
Prasadam Prabhu ki jai.
ISKCON Helsinki devotees ki jai. Bhajavad Prabhu ki jai. Now we have a little Radha Damodar Mahaprasadam.
Radha Damodar ki jai.
We'll give out here.